Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. So we want to thank you listeners for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the similarities between the teachings of Jesus and the principles of Kriya Yoga. Listen as Swami explains the Christian command to love God and the Yama Brahmacharya. Paramahansa Yogananda makes reference to Christ consciousness because Christ is a universal principle for divine love. We will discuss the Christian command to heal the sick and reform the sinner as a Kriya Yoga Yama. Here we will find why yoga may be more a true religion and modern Christianity is less a religion. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul, and experience Christ consciousness. So Swami, why don't you get us started and explain to us what exactly is a yogi?
Yeah, that's going to come down to what someone thinks yoga is, because it's a very broad topic these days. For some people, it is just a system of exercise, but for others, it is a system for attaining enlightenment. For the benefit of this particular show, I'd really like to focus on the eight essential stages of yoga that was codified by Patanjali's. Because if you take that into consideration, then that makes yoga a spiritual science. And so a yogi would be someone who has attained the goal of yoga based on a lot of the principles that are enlisted in the recommended practices. Union of an individual with the divine becomes the starting point of yoga. If you really cross-examine Christianity is a religion. And the origins of the word religion means to relink. So this concept of yoga meaning union, yoking, and this concept of relinking, you can start to see that they're very compatible.
So when we say that you would explain the Christian command to love God, how does that relate to the eight essential stages of yoga?
Like we said in the opening, it really relates or starts with what's called the yama. And the fifth yama is called brahmacharya in yoga. And I think that's the key right there, is because the term means carrier of Brahman. And Brahman is the Hindu concept for the concept of God. And the idea of internalizing the divine in individual consciousness is really how this whole process starts. So whether you do it from a religious standpoint or from a spiritual science or yoga standpoint, it is of the utmost importance that the individual must recognize the presence of this invisible, intangible resource, this source of sustenance, because that is the resource that has all of the power that we're looking for in order to be able to transform the individual from being of a consciousness that is bound up in material or worldly beliefs into an individual that now has spiritual selfhood. And so the Christian concept of loving God is exactly how you do that. When you love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, in order to do that successfully, and you drill down with that, you really can't be dependent upon anything other than the presence of divine love. And our preoccupation with any unnecessary dependencies would interfere with our ability to internalize this very subtle, sublime source. And that's where I think yoga really lays it out, because you have yamas and then you have niyamas. And your first niyama is shaucha, which is purification. And you have to purify yourself physically, mentally. You have to purge your body of all unnecessary dependencies, because the workings of any addiction is rooted in desire. And the origins of all of our desire really comes from survival-based motivation. It's built in our instinct. It is preservation. It is survival. It's a very low level of consciousness, instinct, appetite. It has quite a bit of pull to it. And so if we are addicted to something that is visible and tangible, or if we're addicted to something that is invisible but tangible, so in other words, something that is particles or waves or thoughts, that these become barriers to having attention for this invisible, intangible source. But to do it the Christian way is from the top down, and to do it the yogic way is more from the bottom up, because you're working with the lower mind, the base fundamentals of the lower mind, which is instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, and then, of course, sensual perception. But to love God, to love this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, in order to do that, to get that in there, that will eliminate any unnecessary dependencies. And if it isn't, then you have to realize that you are not connecting with what was called the one true God. And oftentimes that's typically what happens, is that we're not dealing with the presence of divine love or divine law, but we're dealing with a human concept, which is an imitation of divine presence. But the difference is that it doesn't demonstrate, it doesn't have the same power, in the same way that if you were to put water in your lawnmower, you would find that it wouldn't run on water. And so the human is not designed to run on duality, which is things that have separated from the unified state, from this realm of spirit.
So I have a question for you regarding Jesus. Now, all my life we've referred to him as Jesus Christ, but now I understand that Christ is more of a title, like him achieving Christ consciousness. So is Christ consciousness the same as Brahmacharya? So would that mean that Jesus Christ was actually the carrier of Brahman?
Well, to answer your question, Jesus Christ was not his last name, that it was his title. The Christ really is a very important aspect of development, because the Christ is what makes the presence of divine law intelligible in human consciousness. It's referred to by the Essenes as the Messiah. The Bible says no one gets to heaven except through me, and that's the Christ speaking. And there's a difference between Jesus, who was the human manifested part of the incarnation, but the Christ was the divine sonship. And the Christ is universal, and it is also eternal, whereas Jesus is no longer with us, but the Christ is available to each and every one of us now. And what the Christ does is it makes it's kind of like the interpreter that makes the presence of the absolute available to the rational mind. In Jesus's acceptance of the Christ, and as a result of his resurrection, and to answer your question, that is the equivalence of internalizing Brahman in an individual's inner consciousness. And most of this, even though they're using different terms and different words to represent it, as far as the actual experience and as an individual begins to demonstrate these recommendations, the experience is the same. And basically what starts to happen is matter, mind, and spirit come together with new information. Different than if we had continued to just live out of the testimony of our senses and using the availability of things that were visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, particles and waves, as a symbol that we were attracted to. Because that is what keeps us in the law of karma. And karma really is just the belief in duality, because karma is the whole realm of existence that is separate and apart from the unified state. And human potential is really found in our rejoining with the unified state, as opposed to staying off in the cycle of death and rebirth, which is under the law of karma.
So we said in the beginning of the program, in the summary, that Christ is a universal principle for divine love. How is that possible?
Well, I think the first thing that makes it possible is when you separate Jesus, the human aspect, from the Christ, which was the divine aspect. And when you do that, then you recognize that if something is divine, it is eternal. It always was, it always will be. And so now it has the element of omnipresence. And that's where I think making that distinction between Jesus and the Christ is important. And then recognizing that the concept of spirit, or the realm of spirit, is pure love. And so the Christ is really the reflection. The Son of God is the reflection of divine law, divine love. And so as being the reflection, it must maintain all of the qualities and characteristics of divine love.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system
to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami would like to have a discussion about the Christian command about healing the sick and reforming the sinner as a Kriya Yoga Yama. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think this whole thing of yamas, niyamas, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, that after a while you really start to see, or even heal the sick, reform the sinner. All of this really, when you drill down with it, what is sickness but a belief in something other than God? What is a sinner but somebody who misses the mark, who is drawing from the wrong energy field? Somebody who has a belief in something other than God. They're in a false sense of existence, basically. And so as you start to compare what Jesus was doing, and even, say, for example, what Paramahansa Yogananda was teaching when he came to the United States, we're all really looking for some answers. And we want to know what's going on in our inner environment. Why are we unhealthy? Why are we living in discord with the precepts of divine law? Why aren't we spiritual? Why do people have so much trouble with virtue? We've been given a lot of instruction, we've been given a lot of advice, but we're not really given the tools. That scripture is instruction to do something. And it's not something that you just believe in or something that you profess or talk about. So when you're working with things like healing the sick, I really like that. Or even, say, for example, non-injury in yoga. These are commands. These are things that we have to do. But it's not necessarily about the conduct. That's the important thing that you want to understand about this, that you can be performing the conduct. You can live according to these precepts. But what it's really about, it's really about a connection. It's about a connection to a resource of energy that has a completely different return than living from the physical world, where Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And using yoga physiology, that yoga uses a three-body system. You have a physical body, you have a mental body, you have a causal spiritual body. Now, why do you think they call it the causal spiritual body? Because spirit is cause. Spirit is the origins of all creation. And that's what has principle. That's what's backed by divine law. Now, of course, we're going to need this conduct, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to separate our whole identity from drawing from a resource of energy that is limiting, from duality, from fear and limitation. And we're trying to reconnect with truth and wholeness. And in the framework of doing this, we have to use what's given to us. And of course, we're given a lot of this instruction, but what does it look like when I'm actually doing it? What does it look like when I love the Lord thy God with my heart, my soul, and my mind? Because in order for me to do that, I must be in harmony with divine law. Because that's what God is. God is pure, absolute harmony, love, peace, happiness, goodness. And one of the biggest barriers, I think, to a lot of people is that they read the Old Testament. And the Old Testament made a huge mistake in that they mistook the law of karma for God. And so the law of karma is what rewards good behavior and also punishes bad behavior. That is not divine ministry. That is not what comes from divine law. Divine law is purely goodness, pure, absolute love, peace, and happiness. Oftentimes when we hear the term God, then of course we think the law of karma. And we have the image of a God that is, first of all, has human qualities. This God that is moody. Sometimes it rewards and sometimes it punishes and it monitors our behavior. But that's the law of karma. And that's one of the things that we learn is that we can rise above karma. That's what yoga, union with the divine, enables us to do, is get out of this cycle of death and rebirth and join with this other resource that has a completely different return. But in order for us to do this, there are some steps that we have to take, because we're not born with awareness of it. We're not attracted to it. Yoga kind of gives us stages. And it gives us rules and regulations, just as the Old Testament gives us the Ten Commandments. But those are just so that we can align our behavior with the principles of divine law. Because in order for us to come under the jurisdiction of divine law, and I really like the way the Bible says it, that you must ask in my name. Now, of course, in order for us to join with truth and wholeness, we have to ask in the image and likeness of the divine. And the divine is spirit, and spirit is whole. Spirit is perfect. And so we're asking from a human level of understanding. We're asking from our humanness. And of course, our prayers don't get answered because we're not asking in God's name. We're not asking in our own divine selfhood. So in other words, we don't pray right even. There's so much ignorance, there's so much confusion that's going on. This is basically why the world is where it is because we haven't figured out how this stuff works. But when you do, you'll figure out that it is a science, that spiritual law is just like material law. But going from material laws into mental laws into spiritual laws is very similar to the difference between driving a car, driving a boat, and flying a plane. You can't apply the rules of the road to your airplane. That when you're in an airplane, there are things about the cockpit that may be similar to being in the driver's seat, but it's not the same. You're in a different dimension. And spiritual law, spiritual understanding, is a whole different language that the human mind does not have the capacity to interpret. And that's where this whole thing of the Christ comes in. The Christ is the interpreter. In order for us to be able to understand ourselves spiritually, you have to understand what pratyahara is, sense withdrawal, the ability to use the mind just as an avenue of awareness and to eliminate thought, opinion, belief. And by holding your attention on the divine mind, the higher mind, that is how we can start to acknowledge the presence of divine law. But without really seeing how all of this works together, that it's all instruction, that even, say, for example, meditation is the seventh stage of yoga. What does meditation have to do with Christianity? Mm-hmm. Well, it has everything to do with it, because you're moving into the effortless flow state of meditation. That's the Christian concept of living under grace, to live under the will of the Father. is what they're talking about. And so the more we start to see that meditation isn't an activity you do independent of life, it's a state of being. These are all things that when you start to employ them, that you really can start to see how it's all working.
Swami, it seems like you have a real different take on yoga than most yogis or swamis. How is it that yoga can be more of a true religion and modern Christianity is less of a religion?
Well, one of the things that I noticed was Jesus didn't do any headstands. He didn't talk about them or anything of that nature. And the other thing is neither did Patanjali's, that the only physical postures that are mentioned in the Yoga Sutras are the meditative postures. Coming back to this whole thing of religion being union of the individual with the divine, that I think yoga as a spiritual science, when it is taught correctly in the way that it was set out and not in some modified, diluted format, and then also when you look at what's going on in Christianity today, because there really isn't any union of the individual with the divine, you don't have the demonstration that was intended for Christianity. Like, say, for example, early Christians, their whole thing was heal the sick. That is what they went out and they did. And now, of course, we pray for the sick. But our concept of prayer is audible prayer. We talk to God. We ask God to do something for us. But when you have the realization that I and the Father are one, and you identify with your spiritual selfhood, then you realize that you are in the absolute. You are in the kingdom of heaven. From that understanding of the perfection of being, there is nothing that you need or will ever need. So there's no such thing as asking God for anything. And the other thing is that when we have awareness of God, God is always on the field. God is always pouring out infinite goodness. It is us that does not have attention for God or the presence of God that is creating all of our problems. So we're kind of stuck in a belief in something other than God, and we're in the cycle of death and rebirth under the law of karma without much leadership in how to get out of it.
I know you had mentioned pratyahara a little bit ago, but I have a question for you on that. So what is the relationship between pratyahara, meaning sense withdrawal, and the Christian command, take no thought for thy own self?
Yeah, what we don't realize is that our concept of thinking is usually associated with the testimony of our senses. Our ability to form thoughts, really, we're getting our data from duality, which is basically, that is the sin, that we are drawing from a resource of energy other than the absolute, the perfection of being. And so the Christian command of take no thought for thyself is basically the same as the position in Kriya Yoga, where you withdraw from the testimony of your senses. Your mind becomes more of an avenue of awareness than it is a factory for thoughts, concepts, opinions, and all of that type of activity.
Well, I think it's probably about that time we need to start wrapping up our program for today. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit our websites, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can make comments about this show, and you can also access our other Blog Talk Radio shows there. If you scroll down the homepage, you'll see Swami Says recent posts, and you'll see a bunch of them listed there for your learning experiences. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to try and take, whether their practices of Christianity or their practices of yoga, to an experiential level so that they can start to realize the presence of the divine and live out from the perfection of being and start to experience the benefits that come with that. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.